Okay, these are hot mics. So just don't go saying anything that you might regret later. Hey guys, it's The Great Debates. What's going on?
Yeah.
Hey.
I'd like to welcome to the forum here in the Great Debate Studios two debaters. That's my friend Steve Healy and Dave King. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having us, Dan.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Tonight, as you know, we're going to be engaging in sort of a town hall format version of the Great Debates,
which
is different from what we normally do here.
Inspired by the presidential debate?
Yeah, I think so.
Or discussion?
Yeah, sort of. We want like to run abreast of culture here. We like to try to stay topical every now and then, and so, you know, rather than like I think engaging directly in what's out there, let's just try to a little mimicry.
This I'm looking forward to a really illuminating conversation with Dave.
And Steven, so am I, and I hope we come across some interesting ideas. And, you know, we have a lot of similarities, but we have some differences as well.
Dave, you've known me for a long time. Go ahead and call me Steve. I'm going to call you Dave. I hope you don't mind.
I do mind, and I prefer if you call me David or Mr. King or Candidate King or even the other guy. So I just want to make it clear, because there are a number of presidential debates. We're talking about the one that happened Sunday night, like 4 days ago, that almost certainly no one is still talking about, because 100 more interesting things will have happened by now. Is that correct?
It's possible that more interesting things have happened, but if you've been watching the news lately, the most interesting things in the country right now are happening in and around the activities of the presidential campaign.
Oh, totally. Yes, I just think that it's possible that by Thursday, even more crazy things within the campaign will have happened. I'm going to assassinate Trump on Wednesday.
What do you think has been the most interesting thing that's happened in 2016?
Oh, what a great question. Mm. What a great question. It's got to be, you know, return of Tom Brady. Return of Tom Brady. He's finally back.
I was going to say the return of Tom Brady as well.
I can't think of anything more interesting than that. Mm-hmm. A very handsome man had to sit out one quarter of his season, and it didn't really matter. And now he's back.
The knight returns from the forest.
Welcome back.
Oh, the knight with a K. Yeah.
Welcome back, Tom.
What a story.
Debaters, I'd like to ask you to shake hands before we begin.
And we're actually doing it, even though no one can see us.
That was my cell phone. I just got a text, and I'm going to silence that for the rest of the broadcast.
And if our audience could silence that as well, we'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, so like most town halls, we don't have an audience here. Unlike most town halls, we don't have an audience. But I am going to, instead of our normal practice here on The Great Debates of submitting to the two of you for consideration a topic, a resolved topic, on one side of which stands one of you with a pro argument, on the other side a con, I'm just going to raise some questions, and I'd like each of you in your own way and from your own point of view to respond to me and to the question, and just tell me what's on your mind, and then what we'll do is we'll have 2 minutes for an opening statement from each candidate, and then we'll engage in some back and forth.
But I would like to say, you're not allowed to agree with the other person, right? Once a take
is
established.
That's the one rule, is that we're not, whatever take the first person has, other guys got to go, you zig, I got to zag.
Okay, so to begin, I'd like to raise a question that was posed by virtual audience member Ginny Wijnaldum. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, via Twitter. And I'm gonna direct this question first to Candidate Healy. And the question is, we've talked a lot about different qualities that candidate Donald Trump has. Is he presidential? He's a good businessman, supposedly. What Ginny wants to know is, do you think, Candidate Healy, do you think that Donald Trump is funny?
I want to thank you for that question, Dan. Dave, thanks for hosting us here at Great Debate Studios here in your home. Donald Trump is very entertaining. He's very amusing. Like a lot of people, I was very compelled by the performance he put on. And so I can understand having the position that Donald Trump is funny. But my take is that Donald Trump was funny, because unfortunately, he's just not funny anymore. If you ask me, the moment when he became unfunny, is when he accepted the Republican nomination. At that point, the joke was over. This just got a little bit too real. That a guy who is a buffoon, an acknowledged sexual predator, a con artist, a man who can't treat other people with a modicum of decency, would assume the mantle of the party of Abraham Lincoln. At that point, his presence was just destructive to American public life in a way that I fear may be very, very difficult, if not impossible, to repair. So at that point, even though Trump continued to be bombastic and wild and unfortunately darkly compelling television presence, he stopped being funny.
Do you want to yield the rest of your time?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. King, 2 minutes to respond.
And I want to thank you for hosting us as well, Dan. And I want to thank me for hosting us. And I want to thank Occidental College for hosting us. I believe they're maybe geographically the closest institution of learning, so we'll say that there are hosts or whatever. And Trump is very funny. I believe Donald Trump is very funny. How many times have you laughed during this campaign listening to Donald Trump, thinking about Donald Trump? Maybe it's a piece of humor that he said directly. Maybe it's a meme that uses his face in some way. Just look at the guy's body. Look at his absurd faces. Look at the humor that he's spawned. Now, do I support what he believes in? Of course not. Is he a monster? Yes, of course. If he's elected, are we facing some sort of apocalyptic end times? Most likely. Would it be the worst thing that ever happened? Yes. But is he funny? Yes. I would also add to that that, Healy, you went on this high horse about, oh, once he accepted the nomination, it was no longer funny because the, you know, whatever. Because the party of Abraham Lincoln, like the Republican Party, has any resemblance to the party of Abraham Lincoln from the mid-19th century. I would say that there have been plenty of funny candidates over the years who have held the sort of gravitas required or that we look for in a presidential candidate, but at the same time had a good sense of humor. Among them, I would say, of course, President Kennedy and President Obama. And to that, I would add, if you're looking for someone from the other side of the aisle, do you need to say something?
Dave, I'm familiar with John Kennedy. I've laughed at John Kennedy's jokes. Donald Trump is no John Kennedy.
And it's a clever turn of phrase, and you're capitalizing on a sort of like debate moment. And, you know, obviously I agree with you. He's not nearly as funny as John F. Kennedy. He was very funny. But I was going to say Bob Dole, retired Senator Alan Simpson, or, you know, who wasn't a candidate. But
hey, I've met Bob Dole.
Yeah, that's great. Good for you.
Donald Trump is no Bob Dole. He's not nearly as funny.
Here's the thing. Donald Trump can be funny without he himself trying to be funny, and we should not ignore the fact that he makes us laugh, even if he's not trying to. The way he misuses words, his odd timing, his weird rhythms, his malapropisms, all of those things make us laugh at him. And if you're going to say, like, well, it was funny, you know, we've heard the argument, it was funny until he accepted the nomination, but to you I would say it certainly was okay to laugh at people like Hitler, Mussolini, Pol Pot, all of the worst dictators and leaders of all time. I kind of think Saddam Hussein was funny. The guy looked funny. I liked laughing at Saddam Hussein. Remember when that number two guy, what was his name?
Laughing at Saddam Hussein.
Remember that picture of that guy after he got caught and he was in that weird wide neck white t-shirt?
You're talking about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Yeah, that was hysterical, that picture of him. That guy was funny. No, that was funny. That I guy, laughed.
Dave, that guy planned 9/11. He's not funny.
That was awful. Well, people have done terrible things and could still be funny. I mean,
I think you've gotten yourself into some very troubled waters, and I'm going to let you get out of them. But before I do, let me close out my statement and just say, just because something makes you laugh or the American people generate humor out of the darkness that's confronting them doesn't mean that something is funny. This guy has stopped being funny a long time ago. And what's more, I actually think laughing at Donald Trump is what got us into this mess. I think that Donald Trump's career is a surly response to people like us laughing at him, laughing at the things that matter to him. And he's, in a way, the one thing we should listen to is don't laugh at people who are expressing real concerns about economic policies that aren't benefiting them, their depression of their state, the problems they're facing because of immigration or crime. Stop laughing at those things and stop laughing at Donald Trump, because it's exactly what fuels the fire and the aggression that's brought him to us.
moderator, can I just have 20
yes,
seconds?
30 seconds.
30 seconds, thank you so much. I would say just because you laugh at Donald Trump does mean he's funny. I think that's the definition of whether someone's funny or not. Do you laugh when they're speaking?
Oh, people laugh at...
If just a little respect for... This is a town hall. This isn't a debate.
Dave, I just want to make sure that you are thinking clearly about the ideas that you're putting out there. I think you're kind of just...
Well, I would say, here's what I'll say in closing, which is that, you know, we laughed at someone like Al Franken for years and years, and it helped his popularity, and now he's doing great things in the Senate,
and I'm glad that he was.
He's funny. We laughed at him. Donald Trump is also funny. We laughed at him. He is much worse than Al Franken is, but you can't say that you shouldn't laugh at someone or else they'll become powerful, because it's happened before with people who are good.
Okay, thank you, candidates. I'd like to move on to another topic that was submitted by a listener / town hall member virtually. And this comes from Kelly Alvarez. And Kelly asks, well, we know that the candidates of the great debates support a modification to the Gregorian calendar to create a long June. And this is, as we know, a period that runs from Memorial Day through the 4th of July, and expands June to include part of May and part of July. Do you also support, and we'll start with Candidate King on this one, do you also support a modification of the calendar to create a mega December?
Well, that's a great question.
And what would that mean to you, a mega December?
Great question. I want to thank Kelly for asking it. And you know, Kelly, it's funny. We don't agree a lot. We don't agree on a lot, Stephen and I. But one thing we do agree on is long June would be a welcome modification to the calendar. But we disagree on mega December because, as we stated before, once one of us expresses an opinion, the other one has to take the opposite opinion. I don't believe in Mega December. I've never supported Mega December. I don't think it's a worthwhile contribution or modification or what have you. I believe that we have phrases in place already that help connote the idea of what you refer to as Mega December. And namely, I would say the holidays. And I think if you say, I'm going home for the holidays, or what are you doing this holiday season? I think people know that you're talking about either Thanksgiving or Christmas, but most likely that period between Thanksgiving and New Year's. And in fact, I'd like to clarify a little bit. I think the holiday season is the phrase that I'm saying, because when you say that, we pretty much know what you're talking about, Thanksgiving through New Year's. Now, it's a great idea. It lines up similarly to Long June, where you have a little bit before Thanksgiving holiday and a little bit after January 1st or January, depending on when you have to go back to work. Maybe it's January 4th. But I hate to say this, Kelly, and this may be harsh words, but I don't think the phrase Mega December is as clever or elegant as Long June. I think Long June is evocative of a certain time, a certain frame of mind. And to be blunt, Mega December sounds to me like a used car event. It sounds like a Toyota-thon, sounds like a promotion. I don't love it. If Kelly or any of our fine citizens were to come up with a different term, I'd be willing to entertain it. But for me, the holiday season gets the job done, and we don't need redundancy of terms of months.
Candidate Healy, 2 minutes.
Why was Long June such a success? And we can all agree it was a success. People were talking about it. People were experiencing it. People were trying to make the most of it. They sent us their pictures. They sent us their stories. Why? Because it shifted the narrative. It changed the story. It gave you fresh perspective. And that's what we need here. Fresh perspective. That's what's needed on the holidays. Fresh perspective lets you think about that period in a whole new way. And that's what Mega December will do. We've all heard the phrase the holidays. We immediately summon images to our mind, traveling, buying presents, being under the Christmas tree, going somewhere for New Year's, Thanksgiving. But once we have Mega December, we start thinking about it in a totally new way. And that's where innovations come from. That's where developments come from. That's where the important changes that are going to make that time a little more exciting, a little more compelling, a little better are going to come from. Now, Dave did make, I think, a strong point that the phrase Mega December isn't quite as elegant as Long June. But on the other hand, the other phrases we're dealing with here, the holidays, are quite clumsy. I mean, the holiday season, the holidays, when is that? When does that begin and end? What do you specifically mean? It's kind of a mushed up phrase we've come up with because we know that people celebrate different holidays. It's not something that we can get behind universally. And what's more, you end up saying stuff like, the holidays are killing me. The holidays are exhausting. I love them, but the holidays are knocking me out. And that's not really what we mean. We mean that that season is what's knocking you out. What's more, we can agree, I think, that June is not as great as December. It's worse. That's why Mega December is less compelling than Long June. But Dave brought up the image of a used car salesman, and I think that's so right, because I think Mega December is an incredibly descriptive phrase. This is a time of sales and commercials and buying stuff and going from place to place, being in line at the store. That's going to happen in Mega December. It's a youthful phrase, it's a powerful phrase, and it frees up the holidays to be just a wonderful period within Mega December.
Kennedy King, a 1 minute response.
So many mistakes. I don't know where to begin. I'll just try to go through them in only a minute. First of all, Long June was not that big of a success. We had maybe a few people tweet pictures at us. You're wildly exaggerating the success of it. Look, here's what it boils down to. If you believe that the holidays are broken, if you believe that the holiday season needs some sort of crazy reform, and you know, as Healy wants it to be, if you think that it should be more commercial and more like a used car salesman, then candidate Healy is your guy. If you think the holidays, the way we have them, are pretty darn good, then stick with me and let's stay with the holiday season and avoid Mega December. Couple other quick points. You said December is great already, whereas June needs a little kick in the butt. Well, I agree with you. Another reason why we don't need Mega December.
You misunderstood me, actually, there. I said June is better than December.
I don't believe that's what you said on record. We'll have to go back and listen to it. Either way, I think you're wrong. I don't think June is better or worse than December. That's how I can disagree with you on both counts. You also said that the phrase mega is youthful, and I really disagree with you. I think you're dating yourself there. I think it seems maybe useful to a 55-year-old, but I don't think it seems youthful to an actual youth. I think if you asked a 15-year-old or a 25-year-old if the phrase Mega December sounded like something youthful, they would say, no, that sounds like my dad trying to sound youthful. And with that, I yield my time.
Kennedy Healy, 30 seconds.
Well, the holidays are a time of youth and grown-ups coming together. I remember one of the special memories I have about Christmas is spending it with my grandparents and with some of the elders in my family. So a kind of classic phrase like Mega December, I don't think is a disadvantage. But I just think
flip-flop here. Oh, it's youthful, but no, I changed my mind. It's classic.
Dave, I'll thank you not to interrupt me. Anytime you introduce a new phrase, a new piece of language, you just change perspective. Even if you just knock your telescope a little bit, a couple degrees to the left, you might see something new. And that's what Mega December does. It just gives us a little kick in our perspective that allows the holiday season to expand and be seen in a new way. And that's why I'm for Kelly's suggestion of Mega December.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kelly, for submitting that question.
I just have a brief question, if it's okay.
Please, yes.
Can I just open up the floor for a second? I just want to make sure, Healy, earlier you said that I should be careful about what I was saying about Khalid. Is that his name? What's his name?
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Did I say something that was deeply offensive or bad, and should we clear that up? I'm a little worried that I sounded like I was pro-terrorist.
I know. Everybody understands that it's in the context of the debate.
Okay, good.
Everybody
good.
Understands that you're fighting as hard as you can. I'm glad that you went there.
Okay.
But you did say we laughed at him, and that, therefore, he was funny.
Yeah, I think there's something kind of true about
also
that.
Also, the humor...
But the picture, I guess I should have said the picture.
Well, even that, I think, is quite dangerous, because he was obviously being humiliated and probably tortured by the American war machine in some capacity. Finding the picture funny is a double badness.
That's okay. Now this is getting interesting. That's ignorance on my part. I thought that that picture, I'm pretty sure we have the same image in our mind.
Yeah.
I thought that that picture was taken like briefly, like right at his capture, and they were not torturing him yet. Because I would never say, for example, like, well, I don't know, Healy, those Lindy England pictures, remember those? Were those funny? The faces were blurred out. I'm talking about the American woman who was like smoking a cigarette and pointing at the. It was an anonymous Healy is really squirming right now because he doesn't know how to answer this. They're not funny. That's the answer. But they weren't funny.
Candidate Healy's very red. Healy, 20 seconds to respond.
Well, I think that it's possible to have an instinct to laugh at something that is not funny, and that you actually have to be kind of careful about that. Like, kids will often laugh at, a person who's disabled or something, and when you get a little smarter about the context of something, you can find it not funny, even if the initial human reaction might be a burst of laughter. Like, something can draw a nervous reaction that makes you laugh a little bit and still not be funny.
Well said.
That is true.
Also, I do think it's possible to make a joke about the weirdness of these Lindy England photos, but still not think that that itself is funny.
Do I have her name right? This was like 9 years ago or something.
Yeah, Lindy England.
Okay. All right.
Candidates, I have a final question for you in this town hall. I hope you guys have enjoyed yourself so far. And I thank you for the intelligent and considered responses that you've given to the questions that I've posed. The final question, many Americans enjoy playing board games to pass the time. And I'm going to start with Candidate Healy. What is your position on board games?
Thanks, Stan. I'm glad you asked me this. I think we've had a great night of debate, and I've enjoyed being here.
Night of town halling.
Night of town hall! Excuse me. Board games are a way to force fun. As a fun forcer, I would say they're about 40% successful. They pass the time. They engage everybody in a collective action. There's a competition element. It's something to do when you're in a cabin or you're at a house or you can't think of something better to do, or you can do it while you're chatting and drinking. But no, I don't think that board games are very fun. I think in your memories of board games, summon up the games of Monopoly you played, and I think a lot of times there's hurt feelings, there's anger, there's just a sense of tension hanging over the game. I think if you call to mind more fun games like Settlers of Catan, they're not fun. They're actually drawing forth some of your baser instincts, and so they feel kind of exciting because you're being greedy and you're competing with your friends, and they might actually be a valuable release of tension, but I don't think they're very fun. I'd much rather just hang out, drink, laugh, dance, listen to music, pass the time with my friends, tell old stories, reminisce, do almost anything other than board games.
Do you think we need to do anything about board games?
I mean, I think debating, conversational style games. I've never played Cards Against Humanity, but games of that sort, games that bring people together, I'm down with. But board games, I think, are over.
Should people who play board games be punished?
No, of course not.
Okay.
They're punishing themselves.
Oh.
Candidate King, 2 minutes.
Well, I can't believe you took that position. I mean, this is almost too easy for me. Board games offer so many different sort of activities within one activity. You said that you prefer to drink and laugh and tell stories and dance. Well, listen to music. There are games that offer all of those to you if that's what you want to do. If you prefer to sit.
What game is that?
Well, for example, charades, or there's.
Not a board game.
Well, there definitely are board games that incorporate charades-like activities.
Well, that's just extra legislation on the fine activity of charades, which itself is not a board game.
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. I don't understand what the problem is with using charades-like games as part of a different. I think
play charades. Cranium, for example, has part of it. You're not playing a board game.
What?
You'd rather play Cranium than just like throw some names in a hat and do charades?
It's the first example that came to mind of a game. I forget. You're distracting me from my statement. I don't appreciate it. Here's the other advantage. Here's some other great things that happen when you play board games. You get to know people. You learn what are their strengths and what are their weaknesses. It's a great, by the way, it's something that unites people of all ages. My family came and visited about a month ago. We sat around and played Wits and Wagers and Balderdash for hours. And I'm talking about people ages 8 to 60, however old my parents are, 67. We had such a great time. It was fantastic. And we did it for hours and hours. Now, if one of us wants to have a couple beers while that's going on, that's great. If one of us wants to sit out a couple games because that's fine too. But forcing fun seemed like... Your idea here is that you're not allowed to force fun on people. You must sit in a room and organically come up with, good times and bonhomie. Well, that's absurd. Then it rules out I would say you could make the same argument of things like theater and movies and TV and going online. Well, you're just looking for some form of distraction, and then you have to deal with the infrastructure of that form of entertainment, and it's being forced upon you. That's ridiculous. It's harmless to open up a board game and say, let's play this. Here's another final thought that I'll leave you with in my rebuttal. That is, board games have gotten so much better since our youth. And it's interesting to me that you brought up Monopoly as an example, because Monopoly, Candyland, Parcheesi, a lot of these games have serious design flaws. They're just not that great. They weren't that fun. The board games of today are fantastic. And by the way, it's easier than ever to go online and figure out what games are popular, what are the strengths of certain games, what games are good for people of different ages. I haven't played a board game older than Settlers of Catan, I don't think, in the last 10 years, and I think I'm the better for it. And I think what you need to do is go home and play some new board games with your loved ones.
Steve Healy, 1 minute.
Dave, I'm glad that you had this great evening with your family. It sounds wonderful and warm and special.
I wish you'd been there, Healy. I really do.
Well, thank you very much.
I think you would have enjoyed it.
I appreciate that.
I think you wouldn't have made the mistake of taking the side that board games aren't fun.
I think I might have had a great time with your family and having a good time. But you hadn't seen your family in a long time. It was a chance to get everybody together. It was a special circumstance of many different generations gathered together. Sometimes a board game can offer some kind of release, but I think on the whole, board games themselves are not fun. I think you're picturing the 1 in 10 time when the social element of hanging out with your family is really fun, but the board game is just a setup, just an act to put it into motion. And I think people should find other ways to do that. I think board games themselves are usually quite tedious. They draw out aggression and unpleasant feelings. And in fact, I think if you run the tape back on all the times you ever played board games, 9 times out of 10, they weren't fun at all. They were unhappy. They were tense. The board got flipped over. People got bored of the game. You never finished it. It took too long to figure out the rules. But the times you just gathered with your friends, hung out, told tales, swapped jokes, that was where the fun was.
King, 30 seconds.
Well, I think it's almost sad because I think Healy is just simply out of touch with the American people. One of the most popular activities in today's America is game night with your friends. And so many people have weekly, on the calendar, games where the couples come over and they hang out and they have a couple glasses of wine and they're playing whatever it is, Wits and Wagers. Just 3 nights ago, I played a game I had never played before called Codename or Codenames. I forget what it's called. Went to a friend's house, friends I see regularly. And it was fantastic. I think I laughed harder that night than any night in the last few weeks. Why? Because your brain is being used in different ways. Yes, there's a little bit of competition, but I mean, if you're playing with people who are, you're talking about all of this stuff like intimidation and bringing out people's worst nature or something. I mean, it just seems like there's so many other activities that would be more likely to do that than playing a board game. And frankly, I'd suggest to you, if that's what's going on when you're playing board games with your friends, then maybe it's your friends that are the problem and not the board game.
Candidate Healy, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I would just like to say, Dave is in a staid, settled phase of his life where he has a dog, and he's got a girlfriend, and he lives out here in the valley of Los Angeles. And he's playing board games that's the most fun he can come up with. And that's great. It is a nice kind of gentle dad kind of fun. But when we compare funds, there's so much beyond board games. Board games are like the last thing that you end up with. They're the thing you do when you have to play with some kids. And sure, you can have fun doing that. But really, Dave, I think there's a lot more world of fun out there. And I'd love for you to go out and experience it.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed this town hall style debate episode of The Great Debates. I'd like to thank our participants tonight, candidates Healy and King, for honoring us with their considered responses to my questions and to the question of our audience member. Guys, I hope you enjoyed yourselves. Candidate King, Candidate Healy, any final words from either of you?
I'd like to thank Dave for a great night.
I don't want to thank Steve. I think he got weird and insulting at the end there.
Do you really?
No, I'm totally. Oh. Wait, I don't care about this.
Let's explore it. You think
this is the whole point of this? Is that we, right? That we talk about stuff we don't really care about.
Sometimes, you know, you might really go
that's
too
true,
far.
I guess. Well, this isn't Blood Boil. I mean, we're just having a good time here. I mean, I'm curious, Medina. In general, you like board games, right?
I love board games.
Yeah. Healy, do you really not like board games? Can we drop out of the town hall thing for a second?
I'm okay with board games. I feel imprisoned when people
that's
are like, it's board game time.
You just feel like, ugh, it's going to be 2 hours at least
I
or something.
I think there's like, you know, like I said, 1 in 10 times is really fun.
Really
you're up at a cabin.
Or,
if you got some kids, that's great.
I think you only play the game when you want to that experience.
Yeah, you have this weird idea that people are like handcuffing you to the table and making you play board games against your will.
I mean, this came up because you suggested playing board games tonight, and my immediate reaction was like, nah.
I got to get out of here.
So maybe I'm like in a bad mood tonight about board games.
No, I think that actual response makes me sort of like believe you more in some way. Like I'm sort of seeing that.
In my experience, when a board game is suggested, there's always another option. Like you can go up, like you're with your cousins or whatever, the families that were all there, and you can either play a board game or you can be in the kitchen doing whatever. It's like, you know, opt-in or opt-out.
I gotta say, I was hitting Monopoly pretty hard, but I actually find Monopoly pretty fun.
Well, Monopoly is one of those games where people always say, like, you have to play by the actual rules, and if you do, it's very good.
Who cares?
Right, the actual rules. When you play it on your phone, it's quite fun because the actual rules are enforced. I will say, though, there's a strategy, and it's like a Rubik's Cube. Once you learn how to solve it, you kind of... You just win.
Now, in Monopoly, you should buy
pretty
property as soon as possible, every opportunity you get. Do you think that applies to real life?
Real property?
As soon as you have the resources, you should buy houses.
Yeah, I think you should buy real property as soon as possible and forego buying consumer goods.
Well, in Monopoly, there's no alternative to buy. It's buy or don't buy.
It's teaching us a good lesson, I think.
Well,
I would say there's really no financial alternative.
The real lesson to me is you should always be looking for free parking. Mm. Now, did you guys play with the free parking bonus thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're not supposed to, right?
No, you're not.
Doesn't that make I feel like that's one of those things that people are always like, if you play with free parking, it fucks up the whole integrity of the game and you can't do that.
I think that's true, but it's fun as a kid.
Oh, it's great.
Hit the jackpot there.
Tiny bit of, I think, semi-interesting trivia about Monopoly. Some years ago, I went to the Forbes Museum in New York. Which
is already better. Why did we do this town hall for so long?
Sorry, Malcolm Forbes, right? Yeah. He was really interested in toys and games, and he bought up like every prototype of Monopoly. Mm-hmm. In the early versions of the game, there was a version where the board was a circle. And that just makes a ton more sense, I think.
Why is that?
Because you're going around. It's like
like Trivial Pursuit, basically.
Yeah, there's no reason for there to be like corners.
Well, I have to say that it always gave me a little... there's no way to know how I would have felt if we played with a circle, but I always get a little more of the sense that I was, like, moving about a grid like a city. And it's Atlantic City, right, that we're supposed to be in? So
I thought it was Baltimore for some reason.
It's Atlantic City.
It's Atlantic City.
I mean, also, it just kind of folds up nicely.
Also, I feel like this is one of those pieces of trivia everybody knows, but the original inventor of Monopoly intended it as, like, a socialist... propaganda.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. This is the sick way capitalists extract rent from everybody.
So have fun playing this game. And enjoy
the point was to show you you're going to go bankrupt because the system is rigged against you. But the Parker brothers were like, yeah, we'll take that. Put it over here.
Wait, I'm confused because in the game you play the role of the sort of hotelier or the landlord.
But if you play with four people, like three of them are going to go bankrupt.
Interesting. Okay. Gotcha. That's great. And the takeaway was supposed to be, this is a poor system, but instead everyone's takeaway was like,
I'm
going to
be the
it,
winner. It's very American parable, right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Boy, we learned a lot
we really
in the last 3 minutes.
So, okay, we've touched on what we really think.
Yeah.
sort of, this is a town hall take two.
Okay.
Of question number three.
Yeah. Oh, well, can I then just say, I don't think Trump is funny.
That was going to ask.
I mean, he is in like the worst way. Mm-hmm. I think he maybe used to be a little bit funny, but no, he's.
What about when off. He tonight when he said this or today he said this? What an interesting 24 hours. He didn't think that was funny.
I mean, that's hysterical, right?
It's like so
that's
funny.
So Come funny. On. That is funny, but only when you have the distance and the sort of difference of opinion that he does mm-hmm. to realize how absurd it is. Mm-hmm. He.
I think the cadence of his tweets is often very funny.
That's interesting. That's a point I should have brought up. Oh, I said something about how his rhythm.
Sad. Yeah. It's hugely funny.
Yeah. Even check sex tape.
Check sex tape.
Check out sex tape.
His tweet ghostwriter is.
I think it's.
I really hope it's his thumbs. But I think it's funny.
There's something funny about it. That's the most I can say for him.
Agree.
Yeah.
I guess.
Man,
about Mega December? It's the name, isn't it?
I like throwing out a new way to think about that period.
Sure.
I don't love the holidays or the holiday season.
No, it's not ideal.
It's a little clumsy, but it's just not a natural like.
I like that Thanksgiving is firmly in November.
Yeah. That's
oh,
nice.
Sure.
For instance.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'd say. My analog would be the way that like Obamacare is, I'm using a healthcare analogy, I guess. I would say that to me, like, what am I trying to say? To me, the ideal is single payer health coverage, universal single payer health coverage. That to me is what we should have. I don't think we've found yet the term is what we want out of the holidays. It's not Mega December. Uh-huh. It's not Super December. It's
right.
So we don't know what it is yet, but I don't think we should settle for Mega December. And as an idealist or sort of like, you know,
can I just throw something out there? We have a holidays Mega December tradition here on Great Debates.
Oh, yeah.
We have some special guests who will be here in a couple weeks.
This is not a joke.
I hope that they come. Maybe we can talk this matter over with them.
Great. That's if a they great came idea. In with ideas. Yeah.
Great idea. Well, guys, thanks for joining me tonight for this town hall, to take town hall. As always, we welcome your comments and your tweets and your emails.
Mm.
And we look forward to seeing you next week on The Great Debates.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.